Since antiquity, we have negotiated the power structure with comedy, from Aristophanes up to the present day. Aristophanes, considered the father of comedy, mocked Athenian government and society without mercy. In the United States, perhaps one of the best-known political humorists of all time was Will Rogers. His affable, just folks demeanor allowed him to use the keen point of humor with ease and accuracy while still maintaining his easygoing manner. Among his best witticisms are, "Diplomacy is the art of saying nice doggy until you find a rock," and "A fool and his money are soon elected." Mark Twain was another humorist who kept a gimlet eye on the government. Best known for his novels Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn, Twain once wrote, "Reader, suppose you were an idiot, and suppose you were a member of Congress." But I repeat myself. He also observed, "A lie can travel halfway around the world while the truth is putting on its shoes." And then there is Saturday Night Live. Since its debut in 1975, the live sketch comedy show has always been at its best when the political satire is sharp. Impressions of presidents, from Gerald Ford on down to the present administration, have been a staple of the show. On the air for over 40 years, the show is currently enjoying some of its highest ratings in two decades. There is no doubt that humor and the comedians who wield it play an important part in the shaping of our society. And that's no joke.
And we welcome you into On Stage. I'm Fletcher Powell here, of course, with Sanda Moore Coleman. Hi, Sanda.
Hi, Fletcher.
And let's just go ahead and jump in and talk about the importance of political humor.
Let's just say a sense of humor is essential, not just to enjoy life, but to survive it. And I think, you know, we begin with Aristophanes because he is the father of comedy, as they say, and he has built this very broad platform from which humor springs. I think that humor is or can be the spoonful of sugar that we take to help the truth go down. You know, it's important because it disarms as it attacks. So, you know, when I was a bartender, I found that you could say almost anything to someone if you said it with a smile. And I think that's an important thing for people right now, is to find humor in the situations they find themselves in, if at all possible. You know, as they say, if you laugh, you don't cry. Aristophanes, his powers of satire were legendary. And in fact, Plato singled out one of his plays, The Clouds, as something that contributed to the trial and, of course, the subsequent condemning to death of Socrates, although other playwrights had also made him a figure of fun in their work. But the thing about Aristophanes is, yes, he absolutely, his first thing was to mock government. But he also turned the mirror around on just society at large. You know, everyone, no one was safe. Everyone, poets, astronomers, priests, all classes of society were subject to his sharp satire. And the benefit of that is that if you show caricatures of people to themselves, the humor causes them to laugh, but there's a little touch of a little twinge of, oh, wait. This may be me, or this may be the guy next door, or, you know, something like that. So it allows us to face things we'd rather not look at by presenting them in a larger-than-life barbecue, if you will. So Aristophanes has built this large platform from which all comedy springs. Let's now jump into the 20th century. And we'll talk about, I want to talk a little bit more about Will Rogers. He was born in Ulaga Indian Territory, which later became near Claremore, Oklahoma. And he had Cherokee ancestry on both sides of his family. But he became one of the most well-known political humorists in the country, and people loved him. And part of it was his, you know, just folks, I'm just like you kind of demeanor. I want to give you a couple of my favorites because they're still relevant. I don't make jokes, he said. I just watch the government and report the facts. And another one is, this country has come to feel the same when Congress is in session as when the baby gets hold of a hammer. So, you know, again, he said it with a smile. He said it without arrogance. He said it without pretension. And people listened and they laughed and they recognized the truth in what he was saying. Mark Twain was a little more literary in his demeanor, but no less sharp in his satire. Yeah, one of the things he said is, there is no distinctly Native American criminal class except Congress. He also said, loyalty to country always, loyalty to the government when it deserves it, and it's easier to fool people than convince them that they have been fooled. So, well, he's a newspaper man who went on to write a lot. He wrote travelogues, he wrote novels, he wrote everything. He saw a lot of the world, and he was a bit of a misanthrope. So all those things added together made for some very sharp comedy. But then we come to, in the 50s, we come to Lenny Bruce. And Lenny Bruce was actually convicted of word crimes, which is an interesting phrase and one that's sort of frightening, of course, if you're in journalism. He was secretly recorded in 1964 while he was performing in New York, and they arrested him on obscenity charges. And even though people spoke in his behalf, including Bob Dylan, he was convicted of word crimes and sentenced to a workhouse, which seems unbelievable in this day and age, and yet, you know, frighteningly maybe not unbelievable. But, you know, it ruined his career. He died in 1966 of a morphine overdose. He'd been bankrupt from fighting obscenity charges. Before he came along, comics could be arrested in front of an audience. They could be led away by the police in front of an audience by using an obscenity in their work. But after him, things became slightly different. And we move on to Dick Gregory. He started in the black nightclub circuit, and he worked his way up to being the headliner in the Playboy Club in Chicago. His humor was focused mostly on racism and poverty, especially in the American South. He was a critic of the Vietnam War. He was a pioneer, and there would be no Richard Pryor if there had not been Dick Gregory. And we'll come to Richard Pryor. But what follows Dick Gregory in my little list here is, chronologically speaking, we have the Smothers Brothers. And a lot of people, when they think of the Smothers Brothers, they think of the twins with the matching jackets, and they're holding their guitars, and they're smiling, and they're very sweet and clean cut. But they became so political in their humor that CBS, the network censors, were furious. And they ended up canceling the show in 1969. So after 2 years, they were cut off. But political satire, particularly in song, was their thing, and they were good at it. Then we have, of course, we have George Carlin's Seven Dirty Words, the things you cannot say on television or radio, as I understand. he, after his Milwaukee bit in 1972, he did the bit about the seven dirty words. He was arrested, but when he came to trial, the courtroom, when they listened to the monologue about the seven dirty words, the people in the courtroom started laughing, and the judge tossed out the case. The Supreme Court decided that, or ruled that, the joke was not obscene. It was indecent, but it was not obscene, and so it was guaranteed the first right of freedom of speech, and it also gave the feds the power to limit what was broadcast during the hours that children were likely to be in the vicinity. Now, Richard Pryor, early to mid-70s, the thing about Richard Pryor is he did not shy away from anything. He was a very confrontational comic, confrontational in a way that people hadn't seen before. He decided to own words that are still not acceptable in society today. And he said, this one night I decided to make it my own. I decided to take the sting out of it, as if saying it over and over again would numb me and everybody else to his wretchedness. Richard Pryor was the inspiration, really, for probably every comic that came after him. Certainly the black comics, but also every comic. Every comic admired Richard Pryor because he was fearless and because he used the truth like a weapon. And that's where his genius lay. Saturday Night Live has always been political. Between the weekend updates and the impression of presidents, you know, from Chevy Chase doing Gerald Ford on down. But even their musicians have been political. There was controversy when Elvis Costello did Radio Radio instead of the song that he was asked to do. There was controversy with Sinead O'Connor tearing up a photograph of the Pope. It's always been a political show, and now it's more political than ever. At the same time, there are other comedians, late night show comedians, who are keeping up their ends. There's Jon Stewart, there's Bill Maher, there's Stephen Colbert, and there's Dennis Miller. So there's something for everyone in that mix, depending on how you like your comedy. And oh, I'd like to say also, to me, it was an act of comedic bravery for Ellen DeGeneres to come out on a television show that had never seen a lesbian character overtly presented to them. I think that was an extremely important moment in political comedy, and I hope that people always remember her for that, because it was amazing.
Well, that's as good a place as any to take us out today. Sanda, thanks as always for being here on stage.
Thanks for having me.
And for KMUW, I'm Fletcher Powell.